There are few things in Scottish mythology as feared and terrifying as a Kelpie. The stories of Kelpies abound and come down to us from prehistoric times. I go into this topic with a little bit of trepidation, and part of me even wants to avoid talking about it, because the myth of the Kelpie is something which chilled me as a child. The window behind me is open wide. That's real thunder and lightning you're hearing behind me. Thunder and lightning, and a fierce wind just began happening as I began to speak about this. I am superstitious enough to wonder if we should even go there. Coincidence to the non-believer, maybe, but perhaps a sign to those schooled in the arts and lore of the ancients. Oddly enough, the sound of a Kelpie's tail entering the water is said to resemble the sound of thunder. Donald A. McKenzie, in his book, The Scottish Folklore and Folklife of 1935, tells us, "The Kelpie's commonest form was that of a young horse, which scampered on a river, and, striking the water three times with his tail, so heavily that each blast sounded as loud as thunder, disappeared in a flash of fire in a deep pool." Now, some will argue that a water horse's home is a loch, but the Kelpie's home is a river. But not all stories mention the creature's habitat. For another, the Lowland Scots creature is a Kelpie, and the Gaelic one is a water horse. But in areas such as Deeside, Upper Banffshire, and Strathspey, they seem to draw on both traditions. Generally, variations of this creature can inhabit any body of water. The water horse, or Iachuisce, is a most terrifying creature, said to inhabit the freshwater lochs of Scotland. He can change shape and appear in human form, travel between lochs, and is also said to visit shealings, and can appear in the form of a handsome young man to lure women to their death. If a traveller is foolish enough to mount a lone horse at the side of a loch, he or she may find their hands mysteriously stuck to the horse as if by glue, as the water horse rides off at speed towards the loch to drag them deep beneath the waves to be drowned and eaten. I am well acquainted with Loch Lundig in Scotland, where one such water kelpie legend exists, which is probably so old it could be considered prehistory. The blackness of the deep water of that loch, in parts, was always enough to chill me as a child. When out on the loch in my father's little rowboat, the water is very clear with a gentle slope down and then a sharp fall into the black, like a cliff face under the water. But what always chilled me about the place is the legend of the water horse which haunted that particular loch. If memory serves, it was known to the locals as the Wild Horse of Killavrony. An all too similar tale involves a similar Kelpie who lives at nearby Loch Earn. Taking the form of horses, they emerge from their lochs and rivers to enchant their human victims, enticing them to ride on their backs, only to bear them away to some grim, dark fate beneath the waters. In a way, this legend may have served a purpose, since stories of frightening creatures like Kelpies likely helped encourage children to be careful and mindful when around dangerous stretches of water and to otherwise stay away from lakes and rivers, also serving as a warning to innocent young women to be wary of handsome strangers. In good weather, the sea, lochs and rivers are all wondrous places which typically attract people of all ages to bathe and paddle, but water is also unpredictable and weather conditions can change pretty fast. Consider that in places like Scotland and Ireland, sudden downpours can turn a hill burn into a raging, fast-flowing river in a very short time. There are a great many stories of people having been swept away into the sea from even the safest of places. It's all too easy to imagine that there is an evil force behind such events. The Reverend John Gregerson Campbell of Tyree says in his Superstitions of the Highlands and Islands of 1900, "The Kelpie that swells torrents and devours women and children has no representative in Gaelic superstition. Some writers speak as if the water horse were to be identified with it, but the two animals are distinctly separate. The water horse haunts lochs, the kelpie, streams and torrents. The former has never accused of swelling torrents any more than of causing any other natural phenomenon. In other nearby Scottish lochs, there are similar tales of kelpies. Probably the most chilling account of them is said to have happened on the northern shore of Loch Venniker. In his book, Historic Scenes in Perthshire, William Marshall, Doctor of Divinity, relates the following tale. There is a wood there called Coela Croan, or in English, the Wood of Lamentation, so called because of a very horrid tragedy which the Kelpie once performed at this place. A number of children were one day playing here on the bank of Loch Venniker. The Kelpie issued from the loch in the form of a very beautiful horse which attracted and charmed the youngsters. Such was its apparent gentleness that one of the children, after having long admired its beauty, ventured to mount it. Another and another followed his example, till the whole of them had mounted, the creature gradually lengthening his back to admit their numbers as they advanced. He then instantly plunged into the deep and devoured them all in his watery cavern, except one, who by a singular fortune escaped to tell the tale. A similar account of the story claims their livers were found floating on top of the loch on the following day. So, what exactly is a kelpie, and why should we fear them? Kelpies are shape-shifting aquatic monsters which haunt rivers, lochs and the sea. A kelpie is known in the Gaelic as an éirchuisce, which is literally a water horse. On land, a kelpie may appear as a white horse, but it was also believed that it could take human form in order to lure its victims. Some accounts say that a kelpie retains its horse's hooves when it takes the form of a human. This belief is in line with the mythology of other evil fairy kind who shapeshift into the world of men. The Bavanshee, as we've discussed before, retain the feet of deer even after taking the shapes of beautiful, alluring women. Some might argue that the Loch Ness Monster is the most famous kelpie, and a very big one at that. But then, in mythology, things tend to grow bigger over the centuries. The legend may have started out as a simple kelpie legend about the loch. Let us not forget, for one moment, that a kelpie is an evil spirit. It may, in the case of the Wild Horse of Kilavroni, appear as a beautiful and friendly pony grazing peacefully by the loch. Its goal is to attract children, who it will encourage to get on its back. Once there, some magical magnetic property will not allow the rider to get off again, at which point the kelpie runs into the loch to drown the child and eat them. More frightening still, they can take the form of a beautiful young woman with the evil intent of luring naive young men to their death. Other accounts say that they can take the form of an untidy and shaggy man, which is ready to jump out at unsuspecting wayfarers and crush him to death in a vice-like grip. Kelpies seem to be spirits of nature who can use their magical powers to summon a flood in order to sweep a traveller away to a watery grave. It is said that if you're passing by a river and hear an unearthly wailing or howling, take care! It could be a kelpie, warning of an approaching storm. The Scottish bard, Robert Burns, was under no doubt that kelpies were diabolical creatures under the control of Satan himself, who will drag the unsuspecting to their watery graves. He alludes to kelpies in his poem, addressed to the Deal. When thaws dissolve the snowy hoard, and float the jingling icy board, then water kelpies haunt the fjord by your direction, and nighted travellers are allured to their destruction. And aft your moss traversing spunkies decoy the wight that late and drunk is, the bleezing, cursed, mischievous monkeys delude his eyes, till in some miry slough he sunk is, ne'er mere to rise. Perhaps the earliest recorded evidence for the word kelpie is found in the dictionary of the older Scottish tongue. It's found in the spellings of a 17th century place name recorded as Kelpie Hall in the Borough Records for Kirkcudbright in 1674. It certainly doesn't sound like the kind of place you want to visit. More accurately, the Borough Records of Kirkcudbright refer in 1674 to the deceased John Lones, Halfshire, at the east of Kelpie Hole. Its next recorded appearance is in the poem by William Collins, usually referred to as An Ode on the Popular Superstitions of the Highlands of Scotland, considered as the subject of poetry, of 1749, in which a drowned mariner appears before his widow and says, Pursue, dear wife, thy daily toils pursue, at dawn or dusk industrious as before, not e'er of me one hapless thought renew, while I lie weltering on the osiered shore, drowned by the Kelpie's wrath, nor e'er shall aid thee more. One Kelpie legend, this time from the Isle of Mull, tells of a young damsel, on a warm summer evening, straying along the banks of Loch Assapol, when a stranger accosted her. Together they sat on a green knoll, and the stranger laid his head in her lap. She carelessly ran her fingers through his hair, and discovering in it the green fungi of the loch, she trembled with fear, and looked about to escape. To her great relief, he gave a loud snore, showing he was asleep. Adroitly, placing a stone under his head, she sprang to her feet, and with all possible speed ran to the old manse where she served. Arriving within a few yards of the door, she looked backward and saw a beautiful grey steed in full pursuit of her. It was the dreaded water horse, who, finding that the maiden had escaped, followed her, crying out, Next Sabbath I will come and take you. The girl widely spread the account of her escape from the water horse. At the following Sabbath, a great congregation assembled on the knoll, immediately about the loch. The old parish minister stood in the centre with the girl, also placed there for safety. In a little while, a loud neighing was heard in the direction of the green plain skirting the margin of the lake, and at once appeared a water horse coming in full gallop, with foaming mouth and distended nostrils. It charged into the crowd, seized the terrified girl in its jaws, carried her into the lake, and she was never seen again. The same story is also briefly mentioned in Campbell's Superstitions of the Highlands and Islands of Scotland, 1900. Let's end this on a less scary note, with a tale from J.M. McKinley's Folklore of Scottish Lochs and Springs, 1893. An Aberdeenshire farmer went with his own horse to a mill to fetch some sacks of meal. He left the horse at the door of the mill and went in to bring out the sacks. The beast, finding itself free, started to run for home. When the farmer reappeared and found the creature gone, he was much disconcerted and uttered the wish that he might get any kind of horse to carry his sacks, even though it were a water kelpie. To his surprise, a water horse immediately appeared. It quietly allowed itself to be loaded with the meal and accompanied the farmer to his home. On reaching the house, he tied the horse to an old harrow till he should get the sacks taken into the house. When he returned to stable the animal that had done him the good turn, horse and harrow were away, and he heard the beast plunging not far off into a deep pool in the River Don.